We are gathered here this afternoon to find comfort from the Word of God upon the death of your dear husband, your father, your grandpa, your uncle, brother, and our friend, the late Brother Henry Lanting, who passed away peacefully at his residence on Sunday, October the 5th, 2014. He passed away between the morning and the afternoon worship services in his 78th year, and he was the beloved husband of our dear sister, Elma, and dear to us all. Let's come before God in prayer. Gracious God and Father, in the afternoon of this day, we are confronted with the reality of the shortness of our life. We thank you for the years that you have given to our brother Henry, that you gave him 78 years in which he could contribute to the work of your kingdom here below, and how much it was his delight to be of service to you, the living God, how much it was his delight to serve you in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the community, in the Christian schools, and towards his family and extended family and towards us all. And we recognize and acknowledge that this place is missing something now that he has departed and gone to be with you. But we know, O Lord, that he is in your presence, which is far better than we can even imagine, and that his knowledge now of your word and of its truth is more vivid now than any one of us. And we pray that as we reflect for a few moments, not only upon his life, but your work in his life, that we would in this way see that the way of hope is in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Lord, and that even through this too, we would see how lovely it is to dwell in your presence, not only here as we meet with you in your house and worship you with praises of song and prayer and reading and so on, but we know that ultimately that the longing of your people, which has been fulfilled in Henry's life, is to be in your presence and never to be absent from it. We thank you, O Lord, that that desire has been fulfilled so perfectly for him now. We pray that you'll be with Elma, particularly during this time of grief in this memorial service, but also in the days and weeks and months to come. Lord, we pray that you'll bless your word to the hearts of each one of us today, regardless of where we might be ourselves spiritually, that we would do what is pleasing to you in every way. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, we turn in our psalters, and you find them in your pews in front of you or beside you, to Psalter 227. And we will sing all the stanzas of that Psalter selection. It is based on the psalm which we will focus upon in this service, Psalm 84, and it speaks of the beauty of the house of the Lord and the longing of the psalmist to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And so as we sing that, we also sang this past Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon rather, after we heard, just before we heard of the death of our dear brother. We sing 227, we sing all three stanzas.
Thank you.
are gathered here today confronted by death and the sorrow that comes with it, we may yet hear words of hope. The last passage that I read to Brother Henry was Psalm 23, which was between the worship services, and that describes the comfort which comes from having the Lord as our shepherd, particularly through the deep valleys of darkness, as mentioned in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you notice that the psalmist says that he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't run, because he knew of the continual presence of the shepherd. For you are with me. Death has become a mere shadow for those who have the Lord as their shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Christ met the substance, you might say, and we meet but the shadow of death. And even your loved one's physical death has been completely redefined through Christ. Our catechism puts it so beautifully in Lord's Day 16 when it says our death is not a payment for our sins, but it puts an end to sin and is an entrance into eternal life. Traveling with the Lord Jesus Christ means we will walk through death as our beloved brother did. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 of the fact that God grants comfort to us in the midst of all of our trials and grief. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. You see, when no one else and when nothing else can give us comfort, we have the God of all comfort. And our only comfort is belonging to Him in life and in death. No real comfort, you see, is found apart from our Lord Jesus. In Christ, we may know the certainty of the resurrection from the dead. In the Old Testament, Job spoke of the certainty of his resurrection from the dead when he said in Job 19, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." You see, Job knew of his resurrection. He said, "This I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another." And Job here, already in the Old Testament, he expresses his hope in his kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he points to his decaying flesh and his rotting eyes. And he says, "With these eyes I shall see him." You see, though our bodies be destroyed, one day they shall rise again from the dead. And your loved one too, while having been put in the grave this morning, you may be comforted in knowing that there's resurrection from the dead. And you see, these words of comfort are for each and every one of God's dear children. What comfort comes to us even in the face of death when the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope? Doesn't the gospel have rich meaning at times like these? We may be done with our life, and we may go on with our life without any thought of eternity at all. We may go to work every day. We may go about our business, but on days like today, we must recognize that every one of us stands at the brink of eternity. And is that comfort in which your loved one passed away, is that your comfort too? And if it is, you might be at peace today. And if not, then you can turn to Him, because our only comfort in life and in death is belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that comfort? What if your body had been in the casket that was lowered in the ground this morning? Where would you be? You have the assurance, as our dear loved one had, that you will live in eternity. As I said at the graveside, I never heard our brother Henry express a moment of doubt concerning his eternal resting place. You see, the good news of the gospel is that all may have this peace and this comfort in Jesus Christ, the one Savior. Let's sing of the great shepherd who leads us from Psalter 221. 221 in your Psalters again, great shepherd who leads us, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. Turn in our Bibles this afternoon to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And we read the whole psalm. Psalm 84. And after the reading of that psalm, we will sing from Psalter 163, which speaks of satisfaction in our God, and the psalmist expresses that longing for that satisfaction in the Lord. He says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. For my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may safely lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. We sing from Psalter 163. Children and grandchildren, family. And by that term family, I include many of you who have become family through the love of Christ, friends, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus. Henry always treated his own church family as truly part of his own family. We meet today at this funeral service of your dear loved one, our late brother Henry Lanting. Well, our brother had no real fear of death, at least none that I ever realized. He really had no interest in the particulars of this funeral service, probably because they just weren't important to him at all. He realized he was going to die a long time ago, a few months ago. And he didn't really look forward to his death because he loved life. He struggled with it for a time because he loved life, didn't he? He loved his wife, Alma, his children, his grandchildren, his church family. And you're probably here today because he loved you too. He loved people. He loved the fellowship with people. You know, he even loved consistory meetings. not only because he was concerned about the church, but because I think he loved the fellowship. And I can honestly say, and I think the other brothers in Lucas history would agree, that when he finished his term in office, that there was a sense in which we lost something. His wise words, of course, were always welcome, but also his sense of humor. His serious, but at the same time, his carefree approach to life. That almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But I think you know what I mean. He was a serious man, but he was still carefree at the same time. He was one person of all people that I know who held that so wonderfully in balance. Serious, but carefree. Your loved one was a dear friend to all who knew him. He was a dear friend to me. He knew how to love others. Never really speaking a harsh or demeaning word, but he was not necessarily hesitant to say the way it was, but he wasn't hesitant either to speak words of appreciation for other people. Something I think we can learn from him. He could be firm when it was required of him, but generally in a caring and loving manner. Everyone knew that he loved the church. And he would quickly rise, I've seen him do it, to the defense of the bride of Christ. He loved to come to church and to gather in worship. And he did so even just the Sunday before his death. And when Elma phoned me about his death this past Sunday, just before we came into the service, she said, somehow it's just appropriate that Henry passed away on Sunday. You see, it's almost like he realized that he wouldn't be coming to church anymore here, and so he might as well go join the church in heaven. That was the way Henry was. And when hearing of his passing, the words of Psalm 84 came to my mind, and particularly verses 1 and 2, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. And then verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we'll reflect for a few moments on these verses under the theme, at home with the Lord. You see, the psalmist speaks so clearly of his delight to spend time in the presence of God. And in the Old Testament, of course, that meant that one spent time in the tabernacle, where God particularly dwelt in the Old Testament. Today, he is particularly present in the meeting of God's people on the Lord's Day. And in that sense, Henry's delight was exactly the same as the psalmist, to meet with the Lord and to meet with his people on the Lord's Day. And the psalmist actually speaks of great envy of the birds, the sparrow and the swallow, who have found a nest for herself. And it seems like it that these birds were ones which would build their nests in the various outbuildings of the temple area. And they would fly, and in a split second they would be among the people of God. And the psalmist, he felt envious even of the sparrow, because the sparrow could be near to the Lord. And already in verse 2, he expresses this longing. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. He expresses his envy of the sparrow who could go to the house of the Lord and make his nest near to the tabernacle. And that was Henry's desire, wasn't it? To have a place near to the Lord, which has now been fulfilled. He's not a doorkeeper. He's an adopted son of the King. In that sense, the desires of our brother have been fully and completely realized. And Sunday, in that sense, for him was a foreshadowing of that eternity where the fellowship and with God and his people would be uninterrupted, would be sweeter and more precious and more fulfilling in every way. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Do you have the same longing in your heart? Perhaps the psalmist used the analogy of the swallow and the sparrow to remind us that there's nothing in us that as such make us attractive to God. Sparrows are those little grayish-brown like birds. They're so plentiful, we don't pay a lot of attention to them. And if you put some food in a bird feeder and the sparrows are eating it, we don't usually take that much delight in them. But here these sparrows are envied by the psalmist because they have found a home in the house of God. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And the psalmist then is not merely content with being physically present in the tabernacle, but he wants to know God. He wants to fellowship with God. He wants to praise God. He wants to worship Him. He wants to commune with the living God. There's one thing that he wants, and that's to see the beauty of the Lord. He wants to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. His delight and his love is for the Lord Himself, and he's dependent upon God. You see, man by nature is restless without God. And maybe you're restless today. Where can you find peace? Where can we really find tranquility in our hearts? Where can we find that rest and peace of soul and mind and heart? Where can we find the place where we are well and where nothing troubles us? You see, man in himself can't find it. He's restless. And perhaps you have come here today and you have no peace. Maybe you're deeply troubled in your heart because of your experiences. Perhaps your soul is in turmoil because there's no peace there. Why do you have a troubled spirit? Well, man, though he does not know it, he was made by God, and he was made in such a way that he lives best when he depends upon the God who's made him. This is the highest thing that a man can do, is to look to the Lord and be satisfied in Him. And nothing else can satisfy us, truly satisfies and truly comfort us. That gives that serious but yet carefree life. That knowledge of who one is in Jesus Christ and who one will be in all eternity. You see, that's why the psalmist says, my heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. You see, the problem which many people have with God today is they look at Him as a means to acquire their own selfish ends. In other words, they view God as one through whom they can get the things that they really want. Or maybe they blame God for not giving them the things they really desire. Or they're angry because they feel they've gotten the short end of the stick because they don't deserve what they're going through. Maybe some of you have rejected Him because you don't think that He's given you what you deserve. You see, but true satisfaction is found not simply in wanting to get something from God, but in delighting in Him, in taking pleasure in Him, in rejoicing in Him, in finding ourselves enjoying God. That's what the psalmist wanted. He found his delight to be in the house of the Lord, to praise God, to glorify Him, to worship Him. That was the psalmist's life purpose. And he experienced that fullness of joy. Blessed is the man who trusts in You. Can you confess how lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts? Is it Your desire, as the psalmist, my heart longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Now notice the sparrows are said to be close to the altar, it says. Close to the altar. They found a home for themselves. Even Your altars, it says, O Lord of hosts. And the psalmist seems to take particular delight in these altars. This is probably a reference to the place where burnt offerings were held, where sacrifices were made for sinners. And why does the psalmist speak of the altar? Why does he speak of the place of sacrifice? Now, at first, it may seem rather odd that someone would delight in the sacrifices of God. There was nothing pretty about these sacrifices. The blood of animals was shed. The animals were slain. Their flesh was burnt up on this altar. And why would one delight in a sacrifice? It was a reminder that atonement needed to be made against God. It answers the cry for pardon that every human heart cries after. Without the shedding of blood, you see, there is no forgiveness. And since the shedding of blood of a sacrificial animal was done on the altar of burnt sacrifices, this assured the psalmist of his forgiveness. Now, of course, all the blood of all those animals in the Old Testament, they could not be efficacious. They could not atone for their sin. Yet it served as a type of the sacrifice of Christ, because today we don't have an altar in the church. We don't need an altar. But nevertheless, the fact of sacrifice is part of the ministry of the gospel, that Christ has died as the Lamb of God. And every week in this place, we focus upon that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. It's the central theme of the preaching and of the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and Holy Baptism. And every time baptism is administered, we are reminded our sins need to be washed away by the blood of Christ. And every time the Lord's Supper is administered, we're reminded that Christ's blood was shed and His body was broken for me. And it's in the preaching that God is declaring to sinners that our sins are forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we hear every week. That's the good news of the gospel. And who does not want to hear this message? Psalmist longs, even though he had only shadows and types. But we hear the reality of what Christ has done. And so every one of you that is conscious of your guilt and sin, if you long for pardon, if you long to enter into the courts of the Lord, into that place where there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more weeping, where there is only God, then you need to hear of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is one way of reconciliation with God. And don't we need to be repeatedly reminded of the all-sufficiency of this sacrifice of Christ for us? You see, our brother Henry, he wanted to hear that message over and over again. He wanted to fellowship with the Lord, and he loved the people of God. And you can say that he was most at home here in this place while he was upon earth. But now he's at home. He's arrived home. He's at home with the Lord. That's now his home. And the psalmist confesses that the tabernacles of God are lovely. He expresses his desire to dwell in God's courts, to commune with the living God. And as we close, we need to be reminded that this is possible through and only through the Lord Jesus. You see, the Savior was forsaken. Forsaken of his Father. His communion with the Father was broken. Because of our sin, because of my sin, because of Henry's sin. And Jesus Christ paid the price for that sin, that we might have this communion with God. That we might have our longing for the living God fulfilled. See, the psalmist was probably in the wilderness. You see, it's David's psalm. And David was, at this point, apart from the tabernacle of God. And therefore not able to commune with the Lord. And there was a separation from the tabernacle, and therefore a separation from the Lord. But David was here a type of the Lord Jesus, you see. The Lord Jesus, too, he was outside the city of Jerusalem. He was crucified at Calvary. He too was cut off or forsaken of God, even as David was forsaken of dwelling and communing with God when he had to flee into the wilderness. But because the Lord Jesus was forsaken of God, we may be assured in our hearts that when we believe in Him, we shall never be forsaken of the Lord. And therefore we can live in light of this hope. That our longing, when we have this longing to be in the house of the Lord forever, that it will be one day perfectly and fully satisfied, as it was for Henry. You see, your husband, your dad, your grandpa, your brother, our friend, he's at home with the Lord, which is far better. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we know that David's longing to dwell in your eternal presence has been fulfilled. While he was cast off from you when he was in the wilderness and had no communion with you, we know that in your grace and your mercy, you brought him back to yourself. We know that our brother, our husband, our dad, our grandpa, our uncle, our friend, he too, when he was born in sin. But you, in your grace and your mercy, you reached out to him and by the Holy Spirit revealed the gospel to his soul, and he rested in you, O Lord Jesus, and he too delighted to dwell in your presence. He delighted in your people and in the house of God. And we realize that now too, that his longings have been perfectly and fully fulfilled. For now, Lord, he might have perfect communion with you, the living God, and with your people in eternity. And we thank you for the comfort of the gospel that when you, O Lord Jesus, descend upon the clouds of heaven, that he will come with you. He will descend from heaven also with you. And then you shall reign triumphantly and gloriously for all eternity. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to grant comfort to us with these gospel realities, that we would trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one way of salvation, that we would not simply leave this place as we have come here, but we would leave here being overwhelmed with the reality of that salvation which comes to us through Jesus Christ. We wouldn't push this to the back parts of our minds and not reflect upon eternity, but having been confronted with it today, we will find ourselves looking to you for salvation every day of our life. Oh, Lord, bless your word to our hearts, that we would love you, we would serve you, we would honor you. For we know that in this way, our brother too would have been delighted, that all who are here would serve you, the living God, would cry out unto you for mercy, would long to be in your eternal presence. And may it be, O Lord, with your blessing, that not one of us here will turn in rebellion against you and your grace, but we will flee to you and plead for mercy, knowing that you forgive all who come, and you will in no wise cast out any who come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless your word to our hearts. Forgive us our sins, even of this service, and blot them out in the blood of our Lord Jesus. Be with us also in the time of fellowship we have after this service, that it may be pleasing to you. We ask all these things in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to conclude this service with the singing of a favorite hymn of our dear brother. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We're going to sing, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace, and we're going to sing all the stanzas.